as few announcements as possible. Carols will appear on the screen in front of you. There's no need for you to pick up a hymn book. There are no service sheets. All the words needed will be up on the screen. There will be a short musical intro to each carol. That is your cue to stand. And after each carol has been sung, please take your seats. A number of people will be doing readings from the Holy Bible. And I think that that is all I need to say by way of announcement. So let's begin our carol service together.
Father God, almighty creator of heaven and earth, everything seen and unseen, in love you sent us your only Son, the Lord Jesus, God from God and light from light, begotten, not created, in whom and through whom and for whom all things were made. Thank you that Jesus left the glory of heaven for us. He came down to the back streets of a little village, and by the power of the Holy Spirit was born of the Virgin Mary. Everlasting God, a newborn baby, the one who dwells in unapproachable light, lying amidst the straw, for us. Thank you that Jesus became like us in every way, and in our place bore your wrath on the cross, for us. Thank you that Jesus was raised triumphant from the grave, and now reigns from the throne of heaven as one who knows all the struggles and pains of human life. And there he intercedes for us. Help us to worship you from the heart tonight. Help us listen to the readings attentively, knowing every word is from you. Help us sing the carols joyfully as we tell the story of Jesus' birth in song. Help us hear Mark carefully, longing for you to speak to our hearts through him. May there be people who see the beauty and majesty of the baby in the manger for the first time tonight. Open our eyes so we long to join with the angels and sing glory to God in the highest. Father God, we bring our prayers to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
There is a question that I would like us all to consider this evening, and it concerns the one born to Mary. Who was he? I would add, who is he? Why does the Bible give so much attention to him? Why have Christians throughout the centuries given so much attention to him? We shall be noting a number of things this evening about who he was and who he is. Hundreds of years before he was born, the prophets of God were speaking about him with incredible accuracy. We're about to hear a prophecy, and it comes from the book of Isaiah.
More gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Who was he? Who is he? The angel told Mary that he would be great and that he would be called the Son of the Most High. Furthermore, he would sit on David's throne and establish his kingdom forever. Please listen to the account of Jesus' birth foretold in the Gospel of Luke.
In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
I was going to say this evening that nobody has ever written a song for me. But that's not quite true. You see, my wife and I, some years ago, attended a church. But before we left the church, there were 2 young teenage girls who very kindly wrote a song about us. It was a lovely song. But it wasn't as wonderful as the song that Mary composed and sang when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. In her song, she tells us how that generations will call her blessed on account of the one she would give birth to. How important then this baby must be.
At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Let's sing our next carol, remaining seated. And as you're singing so well this evening, I'm going to suggest that the men sing the second verse and the ladies sing the third verse. Okay, men second verse, ladies third verse. All the other verses we'll sing together. Who was he? Who is he? In our next reading, we learn that Joseph, who would become the child's legal father, was instructed by the angel of heaven to give him the name Jesus, which means Saviour. This is because he would save his people from their sins. The guilt of their sin, the power of their sin, and ultimately, the pollution or the presence of their sin. The angel also said that he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us.
This is how the birth of Jesus, Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
It's amazing how many angels seem to appear around the time of Jesus' birth. This is surely an indication of his greatness. Clearly, heaven considered this baby to be very special indeed and important in the great plan of God. The number of angels that appear is particularly notable in the story of the shepherds. In this account, we learn that peace comes to those on whom his favour, that is, Jesus' favour, rests. But what kind of peace is this? Well, the wider testimony of Scripture would lead us to believe that it amounts to peace with God. In the book of Romans, we read the Apostle Paul saying to those who had become Christians, "By putting their faith in Jesus, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that is, since we have been forgiven and declared righteous in God's sight, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ."
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told.
It's quite hard work, isn't it, singing all these carols? I hope you still have some puff left. We've still got a few more carols to go. But let's stand again as we sing this lovely carol, "While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night." Our next reading reminds us of the wise men who came from the east bringing their valuable gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. But why did these men travel so far and present such valuable gifts to the one who would be born to Mary? The answer is found in the text. They believed him to be a king. And not just any king, because we learn that they worshipped him. The testimony of Scripture is that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Who was this Jesus that we have been giving thought to this evening? This Jesus who we have been singing about. Who is he? I say who is he because I believe that he is alive today and sitting at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Well, we have seen this evening that he was God, the Son of God, come to earth in order to save his people, to save sinners. This is the testimony of Scripture. And I would like us to keep these things in mind this evening as I just for a few moments enable us to give some thought to that day when Mary and Joseph made their way to Bethlehem. In Luke chapter 2, we read that Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken throughout the entire Roman world. So Mary and Joseph went to register in Bethlehem, the town of David, because Joseph belonged to the house and line of David. As they made their way to Bethlehem, Mary, of course, was pregnant. But as you may recall, when they came to the inn in Bethlehem, there was found to be no room. It's often been said that the inn was full because of all the people that had come to register in Bethlehem. But it's just as likely that the place was full because of lots of Roman officials that had come to the town in order to do the registering. There was no room in the inn, but there was room in the stable. Now, this would either have been downstairs if the inn was a two-story property, or adjacent to it if only a one-story property. Having said that, it may have even been a cave, because often animals were kept in caves. They acted as stables. It was in stables, as I've already said. This is a pretty obvious thing to say, but the animals were kept. But often the cargo of the guests staying at the inn would have been kept in the stable. Often even the servants who had the responsibility of looking after the animals would have spent their night or their nights in the stable. So it may be, I don't know, that there were others sleeping in the stable when Joseph and Mary slept in the stable. But let me ask a question this evening. Why didn't the innkeeper make room for Mary and Joseph? Why didn't he chuck out some of the guests in order to make room for them? Why didn't he give up his own comfortable bed in order to provide a bed for this poor pregnant woman? I think that we must say that it was because he was ignorant of the one whom Mary carried in her tummy. You see, if he had really known and believed who he was, he would surely have been willing to throw out of the inn even the strong Roman soldier that carried a spear and a sword. He would surely have done it even if it meant risking his own life. Friends, if we really knew who Jesus was, if we really believe the testimony of Scripture, then I am convinced that we would welcome him into our hearts or into our lives. This baby who grew up and became a man and died upon a cross to pay the price for sin before rising from the dead. We would welcome this Saviour into our lives. We would receive him as our Lord and our King. Indeed, we would want to be a people desiring to know more and more about him. We would be a people that would keenly sing a song that goes like this: "Thou didst leave thy throne," it's talking about Jesus, "and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. O come, to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. We were thinking only this morning how that Jesus left the splendor of heaven and all that that meant for him in order to come into our world. And we know it's not perfect, don't we? As Christians, we refer to it sometimes as a sin-sick world. He became a man and he lived among us. But the reason he came, according to Scripture, was that he might die upon a cross before rising again. You see, Jesus Christ and him crucified goes right to the very heart of Christianity. He died in order to pay the price for sin. He paid the price in full, so that all who now trust in him or receive him as their Saviour might know the joy of sins forgiven and peace with God and the certain hope of one day going to heaven. When we talk about Jesus, we're talking about God. We're talking about the Saviour of the world. And Jesus wants us to invite him into our hearts. I'm sure that if the innkeeper had known who this Jesus was, then he would not have said no room. If we really know and believe who he is, we will not say no room for you, Jesus. On the contrary, we will want to welcome him into our lives. Let's sing our final carol, shall we, before I close in prayer. Angels from the realms of glory. Before I pray, can I wish you all a very happy Christmas? And can I also remind you that there are refreshments to follow? If at all possible, please do stay for a drink and a bite to eat. But let us close our service with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, we do want to thank you this evening for the wonderful gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a precious gift from heaven. Indeed, your word describes the Lord Jesus as an indescribable gift. We thank you for his willingness to come into our world and to take those steps that led to the awfulness of the cross. Though we thank you that the story doesn't end at the cross, for on the third day he rose victorious, never more to die, and is now seated at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven. We worship a Saviour who is alive. And we thank you that we can know eternal life as we put our trust in him. Thank you for our time together this evening. We pray for your blessing to be upon all of us over this Christmas period. Keep us safe and watch over us, we ask. And we thank you for the food that has been prepared for us. Thank you that you are such a generous God. Hear our prayer. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Please sit down.